Harry was standing right behind Snape as they faced the candlelit house tables, lined with rapt faces. Then Professor McGonagall said,
"Evans, Lily!"
He watched his mother walk forward on trembling legs and sit down upon the rickety stool. Professor McGonagall dropped the sorting hat onto her head, and barely a second after it had touched the dark red hair, the hat cried,
"Gryffindor!"
Harry heard Snape let out a tiny groan. Lily took off the hat, handed it back to Professor McGonagall, then hurried toward the cheering Gryffindors. But as she went, she glanced back at Snape, and there was a sad little smile on her face. Harry saw Sirius move up the bench to make room for her. She took one look at him, seemed to recognize him from the train, folded her arms, and firmly turned her back on him. The roll call continued. Harry watched Lupin, Pettigrew, and his father join Lily and Sirius at the Gryffindor table. At last, when only a dozen students remained to be sorted, Professor McGonagall called Snape. Harry walked with him to the stool, watched him place the hat upon his head.
"Slytherin!"
cried the sorting hat, and Severus Snape moved off to the other side of the hall, away from Lily, to where the Slytherins were cheering him, to where Lucius Malfoy, a prefect badge gleaming upon his chest, patted Snape on the back as he sat down beside him. And the scene changed. Lily and Snape were walking across the castle courtyard, evidently arguing. Harry hurried to catch up with them, to listen in. As he reached them, he realized how much taller they both were. A few years seemed to have passed since their sorting.
"Thought we were supposed to be friends," Snape was saying. "Best friends."
"We are, Sev. But I don't like some of the people you're hanging round with. I'm sorry, but I detest Avery and Mulcibber."
"Mulcibber? What do you see in him, Sev? He's creepy.
Do you know what he tried to do to Mary MacDonald the other day?"
Lily had reached a pillar and leaned against it, looking up into the thin, sallow face.
"That was nothing," said Snape. "It was a laugh, that's all."
"It was dark magic, and if you think that's funny..."
"What about the stuff Potter and his mates get up to?" demanded Snape.
His colour rose again as he said it, unable, it seemed, to hold in his resentment.
"What's Potter got to do with anything?" said Lily. "They sneak out at night. There's something weird about that Lupin. Where does he keep going?"
"He's ill," said Lily. "They say he's ill."
"Every month, at the full moon," said Snape.
"I know your theory," said Lily, and she sounded cold. "Why are you so obsessed with them anyway? Why do you care what they're doing at night?"
"I'm just trying to show you they're not as wonderful as everyone seems to think they are."
The intensity of his gaze made her blush.
"They don't use dark magic, though."
She dropped her voice.
"And you're being really ungrateful. I heard what happened the other night. You went sneaking down that tunnel by the Whomping Willow, and James Potter saved you from whatever's down there."
Snape's whole face contorted and he spluttered,
"Saved? Saved? You think he was playing the hero? He was saving his neck and his friends too. You're not going to. I won't let you."
"Let me? Let me?"
Lily's bright green eyes were slits. Snape backtracked at once.
"I didn't mean. I just don't want to see you made a fool of. He fancies you. James Potter fancies you."
The words seemed wrenched from him against his will.
"And he's not, everyone thinks, big Quidditch hero."
Snape's bitterness and dislike were rendering him incoherent, and Lily's eyebrows were travelling farther and farther up her forehead.
"I know James Potter's an arrogant toe-rag," she said, cutting across Snape. "I don't need you to tell me that. But Mulcibber's and Avery's idea of humour is just evil. Evil, Sev. I don't understand how you can be friends with them."
Harry doubted that Snape had even heard her strictures on Mulcibber and Avery. The moment she had insulted James Potter, his whole body had relaxed, and as they walked away, there was a new spring in Snape's step, and the scene dissolved. Harry watched again as Snape left the Great Hall after sitting his OWL in Defense Against the Dark Arts, watched as he wandered away from the castle and strayed inadvertently close to the place beneath the beech tree where James, Sirius, Lupin and Pettigrew sat together.